I'm going to read this morning, or is it this afternoon already, from 1 John chapter 3, the first three verses. And I thank Jim for picking the hymn this morning. It's sometimes you wonder, what should I speak on? And you come into a church and somebody gives the hymn what you're going to speak on, and that's good. 1 John chapter 3, I'm reading the first three verses. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now are we children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. And may the Lord bless the public reading of his word. I think these three verses are very relevant for the days in which we live. You know, I'm sure you realize as well as I do that every day you pick up the papers and you read another attack on the Christian faith. There seems to be a move throughout all society to marginalize the Christian faith. And in this book we have read this afternoon, I nearly said this morning again, this afternoon, John had a big, big problem. And to understand these three verses and how they relate to us today, you have to understand why was this book written and to whom was it written. Unless you get that, you'll never understand the book of 1 John. John tells us in chapter 2:18, he says, he's writing to this church, he said, many antichrists have come. Now, antichrist simply means against Christ or to take the place of Christ. And in the same breath, he speaks of a group which had left the church. And John makes this clear. They were not of us. Clearly, this group had come under the influence of false teaching. And we get a clue to the type of teaching they had fallen under. John tells us in chapter 4, he says this, verse 22 to 23, everyone who confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Everyone who confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. This is the Antichrist. Now we know in John's day there was a man called Corinthus who led many Christians astray. And here's what he taught. He taught that the Christing came upon the man Jesus at his baptism, but left him before he was crucified. In other words, Jesus came in the flesh, but Jesus the Christ did not come in the flesh. And they taught that everything material, even the body, was vile, it was corrupt, it was evil. And they taught that salvation was an inner knowing, an inner knowledge, a secret intelligence. And clearly the group that had left had come under that influence. It was a kind of Gnostic teaching. The word Gnostic comes from the Greek word to know, gnosis. And so John has to write to those remaining. You can imagine the people who had left. This group had left. The superior ones had left. This lot were left in the church. And you can imagine, for those who were left, their assurance, their confidence in their salvation was shaken. They were asking themselves, what's truth? Are we Christians or are they the Christians? These people were claiming to be the children of God. And so John has to write to this group, and he has two aims. One, to refute heresy, and the other, to build this group up, to encourage them in their confidence in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he wrote the book. And it's interesting, if you read the book of 1 John 27 times, he uses the verb to know. We know, we know. You see, those people were basing their religion on, we know, we have the inner knowledge. But 27 times he uses the verb to know. And when John wrote this book, he wanted this church which had been shaken to know certain things. And we're going to deal with three of these this morning. And I think this book is so relevant because we are being bombarded constantly by false teaching and attacks in the Christian faith. And it's this church we're experiencing the same thing. And he writes to them. And let's look at verse 1. That's the background to this letter. He says, behold. Now that's a word which points to something seeable, something obvious. What manner of love? That's an interesting term. The manner of love. That word manner of means something foreign. It's not the usual type of love. It's not the type of love the world understands. The only other time that expression is used is in Mark 13, verse 1, when the disciples were looking at the temple. And they said, wow, what stones? We've never seen anything like that. What buildings? We've never seen anything like that. And the love John is referring to is nothing less than the gracious, merciful, infinite, inexhaustible love of Almighty God. And he tells us that love, that infinite love of God, is bestowed on us. Now, 2 points there. Bestowed means it's given freely. It's all of grace. You can't earn it and you can't merit it. And also it says God has bestowed. Now, I don't like talking about grammar because people usually turn when you talk grammar. But that is in the imperfect tense, which means a permanent bestowal of love. And John said, look for yourselves and see that lot out there are claiming to the children of God. I'm saying to you, behold, behold something you can easily see, the great love God has bestowed upon us. And that love was bestowed for a particular purpose, that you and I might be named the children of God. I want to dwell on that a moment. That you and I might be named the children of God. That word children is the Greek word techna, from the verb meaning to bear children. The term children in here, techna, simply means those born. We are the born of God. And here's a strange thing. The nearest word you'll find to techna in all the English language is the good old Scottish word, bairns. I used to go up to the northeast coast and they talked about bairns. The bairns. We are literally, bairns is from the Anglo-Saxon bairan, to give birth. It means literally, we are the born of God. And ladies, for your information, I'm sure you're always fed up hearing them talking about the sons of God. With techna, there's no gender. In most foreign languages, something is either male or female. This word carries no gender. It includes male and female. This love was bestowed in us. You can almost hear John saying, what manner of love has been bestowed in us, not them. We are the ones bestowed with the love of God. You've had the love of God bestowed into your life to create a new relationship to God through Christ. And I want to emphasize the means here. To be born of God, it's all of grace. You can't earn it, you can't merit it. It's all of grace. Ephesians 2, you know well, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. He says in Galatians 3:6, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Through faith in the atoning work of Christ. Where's the boasting? Do you know, when I became a headmaster early on in my career, I became a head teacher. I don't know if you, I used to be up in the north of Paisley there, Merseworth High School. And I remember I used to run down here to the senior citizens meetings with my belt still up my shoulder. I used to pull it out and wave it. I remember I was just recently made a head teacher, and the advisor for religious education had made an appointment with me. And she brought the senior advisor for, I don't know, the whole region. And there we were sitting in my office. And I started sharing my faith with them. You see, I was that naive as a brand new Christian. I thought all Christians were the same. And I spoke to these people about being saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can still see these two women to this day. They looked at one another, shook their heads as if to say, poor soul. And do you know what one of them said to me? To talk of being saved is utter arrogance. I didn't know how to answer. I'd only been saved 5 minutes. To talk of being saved is arrogance. Now, I would have agreed with her if I'd earned my salvation, but it's all of grace. It's all of grace. Paul had to deal with this all the time. He cries out in Galatians 6, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of Christ Jesus our Lord. Where's the boasting? There's none. This great tekna, being made children of God, is all of grace. And that's what the world can't understand. It tells us here, the world won't know or recognize this because they don't understand grace. That grace mediated through the one mediator, the man Christ Jesus. I remember I was in a school once, it wasn't my own school, I was sitting in a staff room waiting, and I was sitting in a wee corner, and this female came in, she was angry, and she had a book in her hand, and she threw it, she hit the desk with it, and she said this, would you make a hymn? Not me, she was talking about something, would you make a hymn? And I said, well, what? He says, now, to put you in the picture, he says was a Brethren PE teacher. He was in the Brethren. I didn't know that then, but I know it now. He says it's all of grace. And she says, if it's all of grace, where are we? It's all of grace. You see, she said, I teach the kids to be good and live decent lives, and he's saying it's all of grace. The world doesn't recognize grace. It tells us here, the world will never understand it. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, the natural man cannot discern the things of the Spirit. We are born into the kingdom, the family of God. We're called, we're named, we're identified as the children of God, the born of God, all by grace and the mighty love of God through Jesus Christ. We are no longer enemies, no longer children of wrath. Now are we, John says, as children of God. You see, I can hear John reading this line this way. Behold, what manner of love has been stowed upon us, that we, not that lot, should be called the children of God. What John has in mind is adoption. Now, when we talk about being adopted, we think that's a second-rate method of being in a family. Paul says in Romans 8, you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, adoption in Paul's day was mainly the Roman form of adoption. Now, it's strange. Romans adopted adults. They didn't adopt babies. In fact, sometimes they adopted their own children. You ever heard of that? Adopting, you adopting your own sons. You see, under Roman law, for example, Julius Caesar adopted Augustus. I won't get into that, it's all history. When a Roman adopted another adult, he wanted him as his heir. He wanted him as his heir. Adoption speaks of heirship, becoming an heir. The person adopting you takes on your debts, he gives you your family name, the privileges, and the right of inheritance. That's what John has in mind. We are not only children of God, we're heirs of God, co-equal heirs with Christ Jesus. By adoption as children of God, we receive all the privileges of the family. By regeneration, we receive the nature. We are now, John saying, the children of God. And that's what we are today. The children of God. Now let me emphasize again, the world will never recognize this. They don't like it. I was just saying in the hall there, I was reading a case of a court case down in England about 6 months ago, it was. And the judge came to this conclusion that Christian teaching is dangerous for children. That's the type of world we live in today. And in this society where we are being marginalized more and more, we hold on to this truth. We are now the children of God. He wants them to know just one other thing. He wants them to know, as children of God, you have a unique identity. Not only a unique identity, but a unique destiny. In verse 2, he says, as children of God, it has not yet been fully revealed what we shall be, but this we know. And there's that expression again. We know. Those Gnostics out there were saying, we know. John's saying, listen, we know that when he is revealed, we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. Now, there's a wonderful destiny for us, isn't it? When Christ comes, we shall be like him in that glorified state. God has not yet fully revealed, but we shall be like him. You know, we know today we have been saved from the penalty of sin. There's coming a time when we will be saved from the very presence of sin. But today, the ongoing battle is being saved from the very power of sin. We're not sinless. He speaks of this unique destiny, that we shall be with him and we shall be like him. John's trying to instill in these people, this lot out there are going on about a knowledge, a secret knowledge. Here's what we know. We know we are the children of God. We know we have a unique destiny. One day we will be in his presence like him. And then he gives us the hard part in verse 3. You see, this standing as a child of God and this great destiny is a wonderful privilege. But with privilege always comes responsibility. The greater the privilege, the greater the responsibility. In verse 3, he says this: everyone who has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. Now, John is not saying here that when we become the children of God, we become sinless. No one in this gathering, no believer has ever been sinless. The Bible doesn't teach that. What he's saying is, our responsibility is in living our lives in the certainty and in believing he is coming again and we will like him. That is our incentive now to live godly lives, that we may be like him now. And I want you to grasp this. To be a child of God is a wonderful privilege. But it always brings a responsibility to display the family likeness now. Christ-likeness. Have you ever said to your kids, I'm sure you've all done this at some time, when you're going to visit that old auntie, now don't you give me a showing up. I'm sure we've said that to kids at one time. I wonder if we give God a showing up as his children. Let me just sum this up. He says, in the world there are many false teachers, many antichrists. Today there are cults galore. There is strong opposition to the Christian faith, to marginalize it. Why? Because they don't know us. That's what John says that to you. The world will never acknowledge you because they do not know him. And he says, don't be deceived. As a child of God, God wants us to know. We're the ones who have the knowledge. But a child of God, we have a unique destiny. And also we have a responsibility to honor the Father in all we, the way we live. Many antichrists. Who are we? Now, I'll never, ever, ever, ever talk to anybody and say, oh, I'm just a Christian. What do you mean I'm just a Christian? I'm just an ordinary Christian. Listen, never take that standing for granted. Never lose sight of it. Never be deceived. I want to say this, but just as I'm finishing, there is no title, no rank, no standing, no honor more glorious than being a child of God. Nothing more glorious in this earth than being a child of God. And Satan's aim and the world's aim is to rob you and make you doubt it. One day we will be like him. Here's what I would say to you. Know that now, through grace and by faith, we are the children of God. Be encouraged by it. Revel in it. Honor it. And remember, we are the ones with the knowledge. And always remember this, it's not the knowledge these people had. They claimed they had this inner knowing. That was salvation. It's not inner knowledge that saves us. It's Christ in us that is the hope of glory. I trust you understand who you are this morning. You're a child of God. We have a unique destiny, but a definite responsibility. And it's all by grace. Through faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for all in here who can truly say we are the children of God. And Lord, that's not boasting in ourselves. It's boasting in the cross of Christ. And so, Lord, may we go from this place this morning realizing who we are, knowing totally who we are, and knowing our responsibility to live godly lives and not give the Father a showing up. Amen.